Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Alexander Graham Bell stated, "When one door closes, another door opens." But we so often look so long and regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the ones which open for us. Are you aware that God opens doors of opportunity? He also closes doors in order for us to be guided by Him to the door, the new door that He is opening. Rest assured, you and I have never been closer to going to another level in our lives of effectiveness, growth, than when we experience some kind of disappointment, even disillusionment, when a door has closed. Are you there today? Have you faced that recently? Are you wrestling with that situation right now? Why has this door closed? Why am I feeling so dejected? I'm in such a melancholy state. I feel depressed. Well, we want you to know why we have this show. For you to know that even in this place, God has a purpose for you. And God is working out His plan in and through your life. And our heart is to lead you closer to Jesus Christ. Some people live life further and further from God's protective path. So far, that the doors they were once easily able to open themselves seem not only to shut around them, they shut, figuratively speaking, inside of them. Hope shuts down. Dreams shut down. Vision is no more. Then what? Pastor Scott Sonora can speak firsthand about such feelings and realities. Closed doors in life. But for him, when the light of hope was turned off in his heart, a miracle happened. He's here to tell us what God did and what God is doing and what he believes the Lord is preparing to do. Pastor Scott Sonora is the Oahu Regional Director for Teen Challenge and also oversees the Harvest Ministries at First Assembly of God. He's going to explain more about his ministry, his life. He's married to Debbie, and we're blessed to have him in studio with us. Pastor Scott, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Well, Pastor, you have admittedly taken the hard road in life. Tell us about your years growing up in Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, everything that you mentioned about doors being closed, and, I actually believe that God herded me to him, H-E-R-D-E-D, herded me, because everywhere I would try to go in my life or try to set my own path, the Lord had a different path, and of course, back then I didn't know the Lord, so I didn't realize that it was His hand was upon me from the very beginning. But my life, I didn't come from a bad family or was dealt a bad hand, as some people are. But for me, I grew up in a normal family. middle class, you know, mom and dad weren't Christians. So we, you know, we didn't have any type of faith background at the time. But, you know, as a local boy, you know, God, I know, has given many people, and in fact, all of us, certain gifts and talents. Mm-hmm. And one of my things, without me trying to be boastful, is that God has given me some talents that, you know, made me pretty successful in pretty much everything I did, from just even a little boy, you know, always a, you know, kind of was a good athlete and, you know, was good at fixing things and, you know, those things. And so, you know, when you live that way, you know, you kind of have this whatever, you know, like, oh, self-worth, you know, I can do this, I'm good at that. And then you become, get kind of prideful. And but it also, you know, is bad, because then you become self-dependent. And I realize today that God didn't make us to be self-dependent. We are God-dependent, you know. And but anyway, so growing up, I, you know, I was always kind of a leader, and you know, but one thing that I encountered when I was in middle school was that, you know, I was always the type of person that was always exploring, and, you know, I didn't want to be the norm. I wanted to be that. You know, if somebody said, you can't do that, I would say, oh, you want to bet?
I'll show you.
So that was
my
challenge.
Watch and see,
Exactly. So I've never been the type who follow. I've always been kind of a trendsetter and want to do that, those kind of things. And, you know, and I remember vividly, you know, in the eighth grade, 13 years old, somebody showed me some drugs. And, you know,
eighth grade.
Yeah, eighth grade, 13 years old, went to the bathroom and said, hey, come, come. So I went to the stall, and there's two of my friends, and they showed me some pills. And I'm thinking, and he goes, you know what these are? And I said, no. He goes, this is speed, man. This is speed. And I'm going, like, really? For some reason, Danny, you know what I did? There was three pills. There was three guys, three pills. I grabbed them out of his hand, popped three of them in my mouth, very first time. And that was the beginning of my introduction to drugs. I don't know if you know, a 13-year-old, 115 pounds, taking three, pills of speed made for one per each person. I mean, first time ever getting high. I mean, I was up for like 2 days, you know, I mean, but I felt good. And I mean, I didn't realize, you know, what that really was the start of. And, you know, then, you know, the next day, everybody was like, oh, you know, I heard you did this. And I mean, everybody was coming. I for some reason, I felt like, hey, I'm the man now, you know? And, you know, I kind of had that reputation, and, you know, and then I wanted to build off that reputation that I was a, you know, that kind of guy. It was a start of something bad, though, Danny.
You know, it happens in a stall, in a bathroom stall at a school. There you are, what, 13 years old. And you made a choice at that moment. It seemed like it was just instinctive of you to do it, being the kind of bold, perhaps in some ways brash way about you.
Yes.
That it can be magnetic, you know. I mean, there's a certain charisma to that. But then you made this choice, and it was the beginning of a turn. Where did it lead?
Well, from there, Danny, you know, I was still trying to find my niche in life, you know, as most 13-year-olds try to do, you know, 13, 14, 15, you know, you kind of just got an innocent elementary school, you're kind of naive in the middle school, and then you're trying to find your niche as you go into high school, and you've been there, Danny, and, you know, I just thought, well, you know, I do, you know, I've always been kind of the person that do what other kids do too, even though I wasn't a follower. But, you know, I wanted to be accepted, and, you know, the ways I was being accepted was to do the things that, you know, most, you know, kids do, you know. And at that time, when I grew up in that time was the early, late 1960s, early 70s, you know, the drug scene was coming on. And so a lot of local boys, you know, what did we do? We go surf, have a couple of beers, and, you know, smoke a couple of joints. And, you know, I thought, hey, you know, do this while I'm young, and you know, when I grow old, I'll grow out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. As I grew older, I grew into it. I got more and more involved.
You know, I'd like, Pastor Scott, for you to take us there to what it's like, you know, to have that point where, you know, in your mind you're thinking, okay, I'll do this thing now when I'm young, get it out of my system.
Mm-hmm.
But in the reverse happened. You got more involved, more overwhelmed by it, and it took you to a path that was far away from perhaps where you ever wanted to go.
Mm.
And as we take our break today, I wonder if you would just pause for a moment and reflect on your own life. Because at certain times, we are at the crossroads, and sometimes we come to a place where we have that fear of wondering if we've come to a place where we never wanted to come. And in actuality, we're lost and completely far from where we ever wanted to be. Have you lost your way? Are you feeling like you're losing your bearings? Are you in a place where you want to find some direction and some stability, of a foundation that you can rely on? When we come back, Pastor Scott Sonoda is going to share with us more of his journey and how God made a difference in his life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my guest today, Pastor Scott Sonoda. Pastor Scott is the regional Oahu regional director of Teen Challenge and also oversees the Harvest Ministries at First Assembly of God. He's going to share a little bit more about some important things that are going on and and what are some things that God is doing in his ministry. But, you know, sometimes the foundation of the ministry in the life of a person is absolutely compelling. And as we go along, Pastor Scott was sharing about going back to 13 years old in a bathroom stall at school. And that's the first time he took speed, three pills of speed at that age, being kind of a light guy and young. And that was the beginning. And it took you down a road, a choice made. And of course, choices along the way, you've had that. I can tell there's that confidence that you exude. But it was being misdirected. How far did you end up going?
Quite far, Danny. And far as years are concerned, I actually came to know the Lord at age 43. I'm 54 now. But if you do the math, at age 43, started at 13. About 30 years, Danny.
30 years.
30 years.
What happened in those 30 years?
Oh, Danny, a lot of hopelessness, a lot of grief, a lot of confusion. You know what? There were times of, you know, momentary joy, momentary success. All futile, though, Danny. Mm-hmm. I look back today, all futile. You know, at that time, though, my life was spiraling out of control. I thought my life was out of control. It was.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing, though, Danny, is God was never out of control. He never lost control of my life. I know sometimes when people feel in their worst state that God has lost control, you know, everything is out of control.
Yeah.
God will never, ever lose control of anyone's life. I don't care how bad it is. Because my favorite verse, Romans 8:28, says that God works all things together for the good to those who love him, who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And that God, you know, God's ways are not our ways. The most likely way that we think that, well, things happen, usually happens another way with God. And, you know, it was through my drug addiction, it was through my weakness that God says my power would be made perfect in your weakness.
Take us back to the moment, the time, or if you can wrap it into a series of close-knitted events where you came to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, my story will be one that is not sound familiar, but yet a little bit familiar in certain ways. Well, from that 13-year-old encounter with drugs, I began smoking pot, and then at the age of 16, I got into my drug of choice, which was cocaine, and which was very popular in the time I grew up. And the thing about drugs that's so deceiving is that one can live a life at the beginning functioning through that drug and alcohol use. But no one and no doctor can tell when, you know, one becomes addicted. You know, for some people, they can become addicted instantly. Some people, it could take a few years, some, you know, 5 years. Some, like myself, 15 to almost 17 years that I handled this. I graduated from high school barely, because I was the type of person that just wanted to get by in my school grades. I just try to find out what my grades were, and I would say, okay, that's good enough. I barely graduated with a D average. That was good enough for me. So I knew how much I could cut class and all these kind of things. My brother, and still is, we're from a line of jewelers, jewelry designers. He's my older brother. I'm the youngest of three. And I used to watch him making jewelry, and he told me, "Man, Scott, you're good at this. You'd be good at this, and you should go to the school that I ended up going to." So I did. I went at 19. I set out to be a jewelry designer. Went to the school in Illinois, Quincy, Illinois. Graduated at the tops of my class.
Wow.
Yeah, and so there was my gift again. Which I thought was me at that time, which I know it was is never me. So I came back to Hawaii, and I married my high school sweetheart, whom I met at 12 years old. We met at Pearl Harbor Elementary, military gal, Holly girl, here on my local boy. We liked each other. If I don't know what like means in sixth grade, but we liked each other in sixth grade. Of course, yeah. Being military, she took off and came back at the age of 16. And she said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Yes, I do." Oh. She says, "We're back in Hawaii." I said, "Great." You know, so we started to date, and you know, we ended up, Danny, you know, wanting to get married and having a beautiful boy and a beautiful girl and a nice home and, you know, nice things and live happily ever after. And you know, Danny, God is so good. He gave us all that. He gave us a beautiful boy, beautiful girl. You know, my business, my jewelry business was doing well. I was very successful. Mm-hmm. Things were, you know, looking really good. And, you know, here I had my dream, my boy, a girl, a nice home, nice things. I'm young. I'm, you know, at that time, 27 years old. You know, I felt like on top of the world, and I looked at myself and I said, "Man, I've gotten to where I wanted to."
You made it.
Yeah, kind of. So I didn't want to say that because I don't want to sound like I'm boastful, but you know, I felt like, "Hey, I made it." You know, I'm here, and you know, I looked at myself and I'm saying, "Wow, hey, you did good." You know, local boy done good. You know, and you know, I got so arrogant. You know, you know, Danny. And. And it was a bad, it wasn't like I was trying to be arrogant, but arrogant in spirit, you know, thinking that I achieved on my own, you know, some success. But God had a plan, you know, to do with me. But, you know, Danny, one thing is the very things that one chases after, you know, whether it be riches, careers, drugs, relationships, is usually, I find, what brings one to the feet of God, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, here I was, 27-year-old, top of the world, you know, two little kids, you know, happily married, things, you know, house, cars, you know, I mean, I was just like, man, okay, you know, I've, you know, some of it was, you know, hard work, which you know, my dad instilled in me, and, you know, so I worked hard, and then I thought, well, you know, I think I'm going to play a little now.
Okay.
I want to enjoy some of these things. And that's when I think was the beginning of my downfall. I started to, you know, my drug use started to increase, you know, from, you know, occasional user to three, four times a week. Eventually, it got to be, you know, 5-6 days of the week. And then, of course, every day, you know.
And, what effect did it have on your marriage, on your family, on you?
You know, at one point I felt invincible. You know, because, you know, when you're in the drug world, you hang around with the same type of people. And I saw friends falling to the wayside. And myself and my pride and arrogance, you know, I would always tell my friends, "Hey, dude, you gotta maintain, boo." You know? You know, because, I mean, their wives and moms and dad were saying, you know, please don't sell to my, you know, don't give to my son or my friend, you know, my husband. You know, he's spending his whole paycheck and now we don't have money for food and stuff like that. So I go to my friends and I'm going, "Bro, what's up? Dude, don't be, I'm not going to be getting high with you anymore if you cannot handle, you know."
Yeah.
I mean, little did I know, Danny, that I'd be eating those very words, you know. Because there came a low point in my life, Danny, where I myself couldn't handle, you know, and my, you know, Danny, it's not like addiction is not like something that you're gonna, you know, you're addicted. I mean, until you're really into it. But I thought, well, you know, I don't really need it. If I don't want to get high, I don't have to get high. I've done that before when, you know, there were things like my family was in town and, you know, I wouldn't get high. Well, those were only for a few days, but see, there came a point in my time where, you know, our kids were kind of getting older. My, you know, the DARE programs were going on in school. And, you know, my lifestyle was, you know, coming home late, sleeping in late, you know, not being around. And my wife says, "You know, honey, I think the kids are kind of catching on to your lifestyle, you know, and, you know, I think you should think about slowing down or quitting." And, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I'm getting kind of old now, 30 years old, you know. 30 years old, getting kind of old, and you know, my drug habit is, yeah, kind of expensive right now. You know, $500-$700 a week. You know, at that point, I could afford that. You know, but so it wasn't a really burden on me. But yeah, I think I'll quit. You know, getting kind of old, drug habit, getting a little expensive, kids getting older. Yeah, good time to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Quit. So I quit, Danny. I quit. Thing is, I couldn't quit for long. That's when I realized that, hey, I could quit for 2-3 days, but 4-5, maybe a week. Ooh, at a week, I'm kind of edgy. I'm thinking, man, I got to get high.
Yeah,
what I found out when I got really addicted is when my wife and I went to Europe for 30 days. And so, you know, I'm not going to bring drugs overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just went on the trip for 30. After a week, Danny, I was ready to come home. I mean, it was like jonesing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, I got to get back home, man. You know, I didn't even enjoy the last 3 weeks of my vacation.
So you're in your 30s when this is happening?
Yes.
But it wasn't until you were, like you said, the age of 43.
Mm-hmm.
So about 10 years even after this, 3 decades worth of the whole process. How did you come to the Lord Jesus? And that's something I want you to talk to us about, because somebody today may be in a situation or know someone who's in a situation like that. Or maybe it's not directly connected to a drug addiction, but they're shackled to something else that is either comparable, or at least maybe in their mind they're thinking, you know, I'm just as bad as this Pastor Scott before he became a pastor. I mean, maybe I'm worse, you know. I mean, the stuff that I'm going through is very, very tough right now. And I want to know how I can not only get help, I want to be free. I want to be released from this. I want to live the life that God made me to live. I know there's more than just this. Pastor Scott, you've experienced it. Someone today is wondering, can I experience it? When we come back from our break, Pastor Scott Sonoda will share with us, will accelerate a little bit. He'll share with us what difference Christ has made in his life. But you know, it all comes to a point where you have to have an introduction in any relationship. There has to be a point where you meet Jesus Christ, just like he met Jesus Christ. Well, could it be that God puts this show together, produced just for you, so that you can know how to meet Jesus? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs.
visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com, Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Pastor Scott Sonoda. Pastor Scott has been taking us on a journey, really on a journey with him, from the time he was a teenager. Now he's taking us in his 30s, married. He has a son and daughter. He has a beautiful home. He has all material possessions. He's a jeweler. He has a jewelry-making background, been educated in Illinois in one of the most prestigious schools. But he's a local boy and married his high school sweetheart, maybe even elementary school sweetheart. And he's taking us back to when he's in his 30s. But things were beginning to spiral out of control. He was a guy who used to tell others, hey, keep it together. You know, you got to maintain. And then he's starting to feel like he's losing grips on his own life and his own ability to, quote unquote, maintain. So things are slipping out, spiraling out. And you know, sometimes when you think things are getting really bad, they get even worse. When things are dark, you realize that the darkness you thought it was just dim, because it gets darker, so dark that it becomes opaque and you cannot see. Pastor Scott, does that relate with anything that you've been through?
Most definitely, Danny. You know, from the time that I decided that I wanted to quit, and I realized that I couldn't quit.
Mm-hmm. That's the European vacation.
Yes, right. When I came back, that's mm-hmm. when I realized that I'm probably addicted. You know, I never thought I'd come to that. You know. Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning of me starting to get help. So that was, I was about 32 years old at this time now. And, I tried to, first I tried to do it on my own. Of course I couldn't. So I decided that I would go to my first, treatment center. Now this is the first of 15 more years to come.
Okay.
The first 15 years of my drug addiction were all fun and games and, you know, just, you know, whatever. It was okay. I could handle that. The last 15 years were pure hell, Danny. It was pure hell. I mean, I went so low that I thought I couldn't go any lower, but I would even go lower than that. Came to a point where, you know, I spent the last 15 years in and out of incarceration, in and out of treatment centers. I went to 7 treatment centers, Danny. Hated the lifestyle of being a drug addict. Loving sobriety when I'd come out of treatment. Mm-hmm. Yet I'd always go back to, as the Bible says, as a dog goes back to its vomit. I mm-hmm. could not understand how the thing that's wrecking my life, ruining my marriage, ruining my relationships with my kids, with my friends, with my families, you know, and hating that lifestyle and loving sobriety, but yet you'd go back. It was so mind-boggling, you know. And so, again, like I said, I went to my first treatment center, came out, loved being clean, told my family it's all over. I can't believe I was living that lifestyle.
Yeah.
It'll never happen again. Danny, I ripped their heart out 7 times. I mean, just promising, you know, that I'd never go back to that lifestyle. I get a little emotional then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when I tell my story, I relive this because I can remember telling, you know, my kids, my wife, I'm so sorry for my past. It won't happen again. I'm going to be a good father. I'm going to be a good husband. But for 15 more years, I ripped their hearts out 7 more times. You know, they came to a point where they were so callous, they couldn't trust me. No one could trust me. My words meant nothing to anyone, including myself, you know. I got so low, Danny, that I didn't want to live anymore. I mean, I remember there'd be times that I wish I could just take my life, but thank God that he never gave me the courage or, you know, whatever it took to take my life, because there were times that I'd sit there looking at my gun, down the barrel of my gun, thinking, I should just pull this trigger, you know, just end it. But then I thought, well, you know, that's might be good for me, which was a lie, but what about my kids? What about my wife? How would they face it? Oh, whoa, where's your dad? I never see your dad. Or, oh, yeah, he shot himself. He committed suicide, you know. So thank God that I never did that. But that's what I mean by God was in control. Mm-hmm. He had to take me down to a depth where, you know, was as I realized today that I was going to use, it would be a strength. As he says, you know, my power would be made or would be displayed in your weakness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what was once my weakness is now a strength, you know, for me.
So how did you find Christ?
Well, like I said, after 15 years of going in and out of treatment, and I know that the God, his hand was there. He was trying to show me that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was trying to tell me that programs, I'm nothing against programs, you know, they're good, they're tools, but it's not going to be a program. It's not going to be anything. It's not going to be who you know, how much money you have, how much power, willpower you have. No matter what you have, as he says in his word, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by your own strength, not by power, not by who you know, how much money you have or whatever, but only by his Holy Spirit, you know. And I didn't realize at that time, but see, God was showing to me that, you know, there's nothing that you can do in your own strength. Remember, Danny, I told you that everything that I did in my life from a little child, I did on my own strength, you know, and I thought it was me. And I was determined to get out of this by myself, and God was going to show me otherwise. And so at the end of 15 years, incarceration in treatment centers, Danny, there came a point where I was actually living in my car and then on the street. Because after I was in my car seat, what happened was finally the Lord gave my wife strength to put a restraining order on me. Mm-hmm. And that restraining order took my wife 7 years to do it. She wanted to do it, but she just was so afraid. You know, fear is not of God. And the devil was lying to her that you'll never make it on your own. What are the kids going to do? You can't be a mother and a father together. Blah, blah, blah. You know, all the lies. But one day, after nearly having a nervous breakdown, my wife finally did what she had threatened to do all along. And that was to get a restraining order, you know. One day I was, you know, from a drug-induced stupor, laying on the couch, just woke up after a hard night. I woke up to two police standing over me, you know, arrested, you know, in front of my neighbors, handcuffed, jail. Escorted out of the house. You know, neighbors. I looked up and I could see my kids looking through the window. I mean, just you know, the blue lights flashing in the dark, and you know, just illuminating the nights. And I'm three police. I mean, I just was like this. You know, the real low life, the low part. But I thought that was the low part. But no, I got even worse, Danny. I came to a point, you know, after I got let out of incarceration, I couldn't see. The thing is, I couldn't go to my place of business to make money to support my habit. So what happened was that I now had no income. Now I couldn't support my habit. I ended up living in my car, selling my car because now I needed drug money. And ended up being on the streets for a couple of weeks. And that's when I realized, man, I need to get some help. And then I went to, I remember this article on this program called Teen Challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, funny, Danny, as I kept that article in my desk drawer for like 3-4 years, you know, this article about, you know, men that, you know, giving their life to God. And I had a little bit of a faith background. I went to church, Sunday school as a little kid, but that was about it. But, you know, the Word of God does not go void. And the little things that I wasn't listening to that I thought I wasn't listening to is planted in your heart, and they come out at the right time. It accomplishes what it was set out for. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I said I got to go. And I end up going to Teen Challenge. I was 43 years old in 2000. And that's where I was introduced to a relationship with Jesus Christ.
You came to know the Lord.
Danny, it wasn't what you thought. You know, it wasn't that way. What it was, Danny, was I came to the end of myself. I looked at myself. One day I was undisciplined because I was rebellious, you know. Mm-hmm. When I went to the program, I thought I knew everything. I was better than everybody else. I had this arrogance, haughty spirit, you know, and I wasn't, you know, conforming to the program, you know. I still was thinking in the world. And I remember one of my disciplines was I'd get up 5 in the morning and have to water this huge acre lawn with a garden hose.
Sounds like the Karate Kid training, you know.
Danny, I can picture it now today, and I'm sitting here, cold, dark, North Shore, 1 acre lawn with a garden.
Every day with the garden hose.
Dude, everybody's sleeping, you know, I'm the only one in the dark. I mean, you know, I'm just watering this thing, and the Lord, it was kind of like David in the fields at night, shepherd, and where the Lord spoke to David, and I believe that's where David got the heart of a man after God's own heart, because he heard from God and I heard from God. Boy, and God was like, dude, how much longer are you going to run from me? You know, how much longer are you going to, you know, stay in your ways, you know? And I said, God, you know what? I don't want you in my life.
Pastor Scott, you are bringing hope in sharing the story. It's a story of God's redemption. It's a story. Well, it's a resurrection story, you know. Jesus is the Lord of the resurrection, and but you can't resurrect until you die, you know. And so here's a point in your life where you just at the very end, things get really, really bad, and then they get worse after they get bad. Incarcerated, in and out of rehabilitation programs, but you meet Christ there at Teen Challenge, and. You know, you are a giver of hope. There is a ministry that you're also, and a number of churches are connecting with in the islands called Convoy of Hope. And something very important is going to be happening in the islands. When we come back from our break, Pastor Scott, I'd like for you to share with us how from the dregs of life, you not only came to Christ, but share with us how you became a pastor. All through this show, I'm calling you Pastor Scott Sonora, Pastor Scott Sonora, not the drug addict that was had to give up his car and was living on the streets. You've been redeemed. But how did you become a pastor? And then share with us about the ministry you have with Teen Challenge now, right? And then about bringing hope, Convoy of Hope. In fact, Convoy of Hope, you can find out more information about that. Pastor Scott is connected. ConvoyofHope.org. ConvoyofHope.org. When we come back, we'll hear more. More hope from a man of hope, Pastor Scott Sonora. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today. His name is Pastor Scott Sonoda. We're talking about times even before he became a pastor, but he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Christ found him at the lowest point. He was searching for Scott, and you know, the Lord God has been called one who seeks out men and seeks out women. And sometimes, even when times where we're not even looking for the Lord is searching lovingly, looking out for us. And he found Scott even in a place where he was incarcerated, even in a rehab center, even in times when he would disappoint his own family. His word meant nothing at that period and season in his life, but all that has changed. He's living a new life now, new life in Christ. Pastor Scott, tell us, you know, you mentioned about your family, you were at great odds with your family. What is your family life like now, your wife and your kids?
Danny, that is truly a miracle. You know, the low point came where my wife, you know, put the restraining order. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my kids were at that point, you know, 16, my son, my oldest, and my daughter was about 12. And they you know, as a young kids, you know, daddy could do no wrong. You know what I mean?
Sure, you're the hero.
Yeah. You know, so as even though they knew I was a drug addict, you know, that daddy could do no wrong. But, you know, when they kind of got into the teenage years, they would realize, man, dad, you're... I'm so disgusted with you already, you know. So they came to a point in the low point, Danny, where, you know, my kids were, you know, disgusted with my lifestyle and just didn't want to even be around me. And, you know, my high school sweetheart, the only true love of my life, who told me, I don't care how bad you get, Scott, I'll never stop loving you. Well, there came a point, Danny, where she said, you know, I don't know if I even love you today, you know. I mean, I thought you said you never stopped loving me. She says, it's not that I stopped loving you. You forced me to stop loving you. Hmm. And I made her so hard. Hmm. And, but you know, God's word is yes and amen. And he says that he would restore the years that the locusts have eaten, or restore the years that the devil has taken away from you. Hmm. Today, Danny, I can say that before Danny, I had kids. Today, I have a family. Hmm. You know, I was married before, you know, but I didn't have a marriage. Hmm. I had a house, but today I have a home. Hmm. That's only because of Jesus Christ. Hmm. So, I mean, I have those things. I have a family. I have a marriage and I have a home today.
Debbie stuck with you all the way.
The whole way. Praise God.
All the way.
Praise God.
And reconciled with your children.
Oh, everything. We have the best relationship today. You know, the kids and I mean, they're in the mainland and going to college, you know, in California. Mm-hmm. We talk, Danny, at least once, more like 2 to 3 times a day.
Wow.
A day. Every day. Mm-hmm. Even if it's, good night, Dad, I'm going to sleep. Mm. Or, you know, Dad, I didn't have time to talk with you a lot tonight, but I just wanted to say good night. You know, I mean, it's just that. But you know, we have conversations. Mm. We laugh about the things that were hurtful before. Wow. You know, about how certain stupid stuff that I did as a drug addict.
You know, this here is the marvelous testament of the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. What is it? What is it? How far do we need to go? How far do you need to go before you come to a place where you say, indeed, this testimony is so powerful. Jesus Christ, you are the answer to my life too. And I will surrender my life to you. Even as Pastor Scott has surrendered his life to the Lord, how did you get called into the pastoral ministry? Now you're a jeweler in background. Now you're a pastor. How does that happen?
Again, Danny, my story is so unlikely, but it's God's way. God's way is not our ways. And, you know, coming out of Teen Challenge, I have to back up and tell one important thing, that when God met me on watering the lawn,
yeah,
and he said, when are you going to stop running from me? You know, when are you going to stop running? And it'll be 2 days, 2 years, 2 weeks, 2 months, 20 years. And you can run from me, but you'll be face to face with me again. And I'll ask you the same question. When are you going to stop running from me? And he says, I'm God and I will have my way with you. Something sparked in that, you know, I mean, I just like, ooh, I can't win. This is God I'm talking to. And I could see then that he was just tearing me down so that he could build me up. Mm-hmm. He had to get rid of all that Opala in my life. Mm-hmm. Let me come to the end of myself. And I'll tell you, Danny, that when we can come to the end of ourself, we think that's a bad place to be, but that's actually where God wants us to be, to the end of ourself. And we're so sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
We're so fed up with ourselves. Then we realize, hey, my ways aren't making it. I can't cut it. And that's where I said, God, I don't want you, but I need you.
Mm. You know, you were recently in Arizona with some pretty high profile leaders. What happened over there?
I just feel so blessed to be a part of, one, God's ministry. But, you know, I recently was invited to go along with New Hope Prison Ministry to mm-hmm. Arizona. We have a prison in Arizona, state Hawaii prison in Arizona,
uh-huh.
with over 2,000 Hawaii inmates. In fact, we're going to be going in a couple weeks back up there. But I was invited by Pastor Roy, because I am the outreach director of First Assembly, where I'm a pastor at right mm-hmm. now. And, you know, we have a prison ministry also. And Roy, such a great guy. You've had him on your show. Just mm-hmm. a marvelous man of God, willing to serve the Lord. And we met through a mutual friend. And, you know, we just clicked. And, you know, his heart, his testimony was my testimony. Mm-hmm. We just clicked. Mm-hmm. Our vision was about the same, you know, mm. and he said, you know, one day I'm going to take you up with me to Arizona.
Mm.
And he did. And, you know, we went up there and, it was such a marvelous time. I left a piece of my heart up in Arizona,
wow.
obviously, because I'm going back up there in a couple of weeks, and we plan to do, you know, we plan to go 2 or 3 times a year now.
And who else was up there with you? Pastor Roy Yamamoto?
Yeah, Pastor Joe Onasai.
Okay.
Pastor David Katina.
Wow.
The Katinas.
Wow.
Pastor Elwin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Pastor Roy, give us a parting shot.
Pastor Scott.
Pastor Scott, give us a parting shot. You know, you're there's a convoy of hope that we're talking about. We mentioned that earlier. Something is happening in Hawaii. Why don't you give us a quick snapshot of that?
Well, July 23rd at the Aloha Stadium, Danny, of 2011, we have a chance to make God famous. we've been talking about Hawaii being the first Christian state here, uniting churches of all denominations mm-hmm. to become one body in one spirit, mind, accord. And here's this opportunity that God has heard our prayers and given us. Convoy of Hope is an international organization of the body of Christ. And it's the first responders to such areas as disaster areas as Katrina, Haiti, mm-hmm. American Samoa as of lately. But mm-hmm. what they want to do is they want to come to Hawaii. They do about 70 outreaches nationwide a year, mm-hmm. not including the international ones that they do. But they want to come to Hawaii, Oahu. And we've decided to do that at the Aloha Stadium July 23rd. We're calling it One Day of Compassion.
Mm-hmm. One Day of Compassion at the Aloha Stadium, July 23rd. More information can be found where?
We have first of all, Convoy of Hope can be found at the convoyofhope.org. Yes. Mm-hmm. Terrible for me that we have a website, but I don't know it offhand.
July 23rd, yeah. convoyofhope.org is going to be held at the Aloha Stadium. You're going to be hearing more about it. In some ways, grassroots, even through local churches. Yes. But you've also heard about it here mm-hmm. from Pastor Scott Sonora. You know, in the next few weeks, you're going to hear more stories. In the next few days, more stories. Invite somebody to listen in, somebody that you're trying to reach, somebody that you want to come to know the love of Christ. Proverbs 28:14 says, "Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Pastor Scott Sonora. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.